Well, good evening. And I'm Mick Maloney, and I'd like to welcome you to the second in our series of concerts here in the 19th annual Irish Week at Augusta. It's amazing since you that we're still standing. A housekeeping announcement first. No photographs or videotaping allowed or tape recording of this particular concert because it's been documented by the university here. And of course, that's all welcome at other events, but not at these concerts. So we're going to begin our concert with some magnificent music from a young crop of musicians for the most part. And when I came to America in 1973, before long, I was out and about in various cities, and I was very interested in meeting the older Irish musicians that I'd heard about in Ireland before I came here. And I journeyed around to various places where I knew they were, like Boston and Cleveland, Chicago, and of course New York and other places too. And I talked to, as well as recording music from, talked to and did oral histories of a lot of the older musicians in those cities who'd been playing sometimes for well over half a century. And I found one very intriguing and in a sense, an almost ominous thing, that none of their children were playing, nor indeed were any young Irish Americans playing this old music in their communities. And it became apparent to me very quickly that this was essentially, the older music was essentially an immigrant tradition that was fostered and nurtured and developed by immigrants, and that as long as immigration would take place, this tradition would be fine. But immigration was really slacking off in the 60s and 70s, and it seemed that the future was fairly bleak. But then, almost miraculously, in the 1970s, that all turned around, and young men and women started playing Irish music. People born in this country, often with immigrant parents. And suddenly, within a few years, it was really clear that the tradition was in very safe keeping, and that its future was not in doubt. Well, we're now very delighted to see, again, a new wave of a new generation of musicians beyond that. And many of them, in fact, have been coming down here since they were very young to Irish Week in Augusta. And they're going to begin our concert for us. There's, first of all, one of the great fiddlers in Irish music, Brendan Callaghan, who's originally from Philadelphia and now back in Philadelphia again. There's Sean McComiskey, who comes from a very illustrious musical stock. His father, Bill McComiskey, was one of the people who's been here over the years and was part of the very first Irish Week in Augusta 19 years ago. Sean McComiskey lives in the Baltimore area. There's Jim Egan, who lives also close to the Baltimore area, one of the great fiddlers in Irish music, and already he's been playing out in the festival and concert circuit with a variety of musicians. There's Aaron Allwell from the middle of nowhere in Virginia, that's what he told me to say, although it's near Charlottesville, and he's one of the great flute players in Irish music, and his father one of the great flute makers, indeed, in the whole history of Irish flute making. There's Elliot Grasso, one of the great young pipers, Uilleann pipers in Irish music, and the pipes, I suppose, was the most endangered instrument in the whole tradition up to about 20 or 30 years or so ago. And Elliot is well known back in Ireland as well, is featured on a compendium of music from young pipers that was issued last year. And they're going to be joined by two great musicians who've been supposed to be a generation ahead of these. And one is Brendan Dolan, great piano player from New York. His father, Felix Dolan, is a household name in Irish music, and Brendan is rapidly becoming so as well. And Les Geschel, originally from Ohio, who's on the bow round. So please make them welcome.
Thank you. Well, that was three jigs. The first, what was the first one? We don't have a name for the first one. The second one was called Patty in London. And the third one was Lark in the Morning. So now, me, Brendan, and Arne are going to do a few reels. What's the first one? The Commodore into the woman at a house, and the finish it off with the high reel. Thank you.
play a few tunes now. Before we start, I want to say that it's going to sound a bit lower because we're tuned down to B. I'm playing a B set. Jim is playing a fiddle tuned down to B. And we've been listening to a lot of Robbie Hannon and Patty Glacken lately, if anyone knows who they are. They're two musicians from Donegal. They play a lot of northern music, and we've been into a lot of that lately. And when the pipes were first being made in the 1750s, they were made in lower pitches. I really don't know why, but it sounds pretty cool.
We'll do two reels for you. The first one's a Donegal setting of a more common tune called Trim the Velvet, and we're going to do a tune after that called the Nine Pint Coggy. And a coggy is a drinking vessel, and a nine pint coggy is a very large drinking vessel.
Up now. Well, Brendan said I had to do the speaking because this is my first time performing here at Elkin, so I wasn't too thrilled about that, but how do you think I'm doing? And we just wanted to thank the sound man for a wonderful job. Well, now we're going to do a few reels. We're going to finish up. The first one is called The Jolly Tinker. The second one is Strawberry Blossom. And the third one is called Gregory Greens. You've been a great audience. See you later. Thank you.
Les Getchell, Elliot Grasso, Aaron Orwell, Brendan Dolan, Jim Egan, Sean McComiskey, and Brendan Callahan. It's nice to have Brendan in Philadelphia. One of his jobs next year is director of the offensive line of the University of Pennsylvania football team. And he's going to be busting some serious butt, I tell you. But hopefully after he leaves Elkins here. And we have the silent auction underway. And Maria Woodford, who's assistant concert manager here, is holding up a T-shirt, and on the back of it is the product of an unprecedented outbreak of literacy among the staff of Irish Week. This is all signed personally, and this is part of the loot for the silent auction. So the silent auction is going to be finishing at the end of the intermission, so you will have a limited opportunity to bid on the flotsam and jetsam that's out there. Thank you very much, Maria. Well, our next singer has been coming here for, we've been trying to figure it out, I think about 9 years, maybe 8 or 9 years, and she sings in the Irish language. And it's something we should never take for granted, because it wasn't so long ago that it was very hard, if not impossible, on this side of the Atlantic and also in Ireland, to hear in public people singing in the Irish language, or indeed even to hear the Irish language spoken at all. And it was part of British colonial policy over the years to wipe out as many aspects of native Irish culture as possible. And that was part of the grand plan, and in particular, the Irish language. And in the famine in the middle of the 19th century, which decimated most of the countryside, most of the million and a half people who died in the famine were Gaelic speakers. And the poorest areas were also the Gaelic-speaking areas. And then a huge number of people, many millions who came to America, the majority of those came from the Gaelic-speaking areas as well. In the educational system, you couldn't learn to write Irish. And earlier in this century, you had the obscenity almost of people who were trained, Scandinavians and people from the continent of Europe, who weren't even Irish, who had trained themselves to speak and write Irish, going to places like the Blasket Islands and writing down the autobiographies of people because they couldn't write in their own language themselves. So it wasn't surprising that the Irish language became more and more of an endangered linguistic species, you might say, in Europe. And to this day, there's only 60,000 people now in Ireland that speak Irish as a first language in the Gaeltachtaí, the Gaelic-speaking areas that are mostly dotted on the west coast of Ireland, one or two on the east coast, and few again who sing in their native language. But happily, in the last couple of years or so, there's been a resurgence of people singing in the Irish language, though indeed, if you go to Ireland, it's harder to find again than the music, which is in a very public situation as far as its profile is concerned. Well, we've been delighted here over the years to welcome a woman who comes from Connemara, which is associated more with the singing style called Shan Nose. It means old style, directly from the Gaelic. Shan means old and Nose is style. And she's been coming here for years now, singing in this wonderful Shan Nose style that she learned from the singers around her in Connemara. And I was involved in helping in doing some of the research for a production on the life of one of the great Shan Nose singers from Connemara, Joe Heaney, who ended up his days in America. And Joe, towards the end of his life, was very frank about the fact that he was made feel inferior, even among his own people, for singing in the old language, because we'd sort of internalized the whole colonial thing, and we had a sense of low self-esteem about aspects of our native culture, particularly those things in the Irish language. So one of the great singers of his time, he came over here and was almost ignored completely in America, and his support system eventually became that of the folk song revival, mostly Jewish cultural activists in New York and other places. A great irony, because he was ignored by his own people, by our own people, in his new home in New York City. Towards the end of his days, he was able to get a job as an artist in residence in the University of Washington out in Seattle. And it's one of the great ironies, I suppose, of our culture, that the greatest individual archive of Shan Nose singing, the greatest repository of lore connected with Shan Nose singing, is not, in fact, in Ireland, but it is 6,000 miles away from Ireland in the University of Washington, and Joe Heaney left a great legacy there behind him. And a woman who's currently leaving a great legacy, and is certainly not a museum piece, is very much part of a living tradition, is Bridget Fitzgerald. She comes originally from Inverin in Connemara, and she came over to Boston some years back, and she never really considered herself a singer, because a lot of people who sang in the old language would have sung at home, especially women, and would never have been considered performers. But Bridget sang at a folk mass in Boston, and people thought that that was wonderful, and ever after, well, she quite rightly considered herself a performer, and she's been appearing now at a variety of concerts and festivals. Another, are you all set up there? At concerts and festivals all over the United States. She's been coming here, as I said, for 9 years, and it's always a great delight to have her. Please make welcome Bridget Fitzgerald.
This one or the other one? Ah, that's better. Palayeri. Yeah. It's wonderful to be here again. And this time on my way here, I drove by myself from Boston and I saw all of it. Places I'd never seen before in the 9 years I've been coming here, or 8 years, whatever it is, because I was sleeping through them, especially on the way home. I'm going to start with a song I got from Joe Heaney. You heard Mick mention him. A song called Eleanor a Ruin. And I should have checked a list somewhere, and I may have done this somewhere along the years. I don't remember. I don't remember what I did last year. This is a song about a man in love. And he's in love with Eleanor, and we learned what I call a watered-down version of the song in school, Eileen Aroon, you may have heard of it. This one is called Eleanor Aroon, and he wants to know if Eleanor is coming, is she staying? He says she has the gift to entice the birds from the trees. Raise a body from the dead, and that's a euphemism for this, that, and the other. And smurro gan gedehant ailno Arun is art of him as we knew, Tramimimun. Ah, it can tell such a shark, Stus Jeshen of an Eden.
Your in your
Ainod Arun Sanjukatu no Wanatu Ainod Arun Nun Nanche Konehu Achit Gundil Sastor Ochikame Snian me Smaden Onyinche Nakonach me Avrin Linja Sok Stustash me Chipok Hun so wide it bill again a mort. Maris jes mar Hjolin gaun a lat Ailin oor arun. Thank you. Karamahagi. By the way, when I came out, I said something in Irish that was hello, and the answer was hello back. It was the blessings of God on you, and the answer was the same to you. It's a common greeting back home. Back home in Ireland. When I'm over there, I say back home here. I'm going to do a song that is in our Irish tradition, and it's known as Come All You Fair and Tender Lassies. And I heard it years and years ago at a festival somewhere, and I wasn't able to find the words to it. And the next time I heard it, it was a little different. My friend John Gallagher, as you say here, introduced me to the singing of Morgan Sexton from Kentucky. And I fell in love with the singing and banjo playing. And this is a song that he sings on one of his tapes. Of course, I wasn't able to figure out what the words were from that tape, but I found them along the way, so I'm going to do that. It's called, he calls it Little Sparrow. Oh, if I were some little sparrow and I had wings. I have to start again because I started on the wrong verse. There you go. Oh, if I were some little swallow and I had wings and I could fly, I'd fly away to my false-hearted lover. And there I'd stay until I die. Oh, if I were some little sparrow and I'd no wings and I couldn't fly, I'd sit down there in some grieving sorrow where you would laugh and I would cry. There is a day a-coming when we shall part and I shall see. There is a place in the middle of torment for that man, he's deceiving me. And if I'd known before I courted, there is a love so hard to win, I'd lock my heart in a box of golden and fasten it with a silver pin. Oh, if I were some little swallow and I had wings and I could fly, away to my false-hearted lover, and there I'd stay until I die. Now there's a glutton for punishment. Thank you. Kramil Mahagi. Thanks very much.
Bridget Fitzgerald from Inverin in Connemara in the west of Ireland. The Augusta Store Annex is going to be open in the lobby during intermission and immediately following the concert. And you'll have a chance to get some CDs from a lot of the artists performing tonight and some videos and some tapes as well. The Ice House is going to be open until 2 p.m. tonight, and it's going to be selling beer and gourmet and decaf coffee. That's what it says. And the Jennings Randolph Hall is going to be open until, that's just across from the Ice House. Just if you go, Hallyhurst is directly across, then slightly down the hill. And it's going to be open until 3 a.m. for sessions. And it's going to be a slow session there for those of you who like to play at a more sedate pace. It's going to be led by the Whitestone accordion player himself, Martin Riley. And that'll be starting about half an hour after the concert ends. And also the porch at Hallyhurst is going to be a place where I'm sure sessions will take place as well. Well, the next musicians are going to close out the first half. They're all virtuosos, and they're all indeed legends in their own way on the instruments that they play and in the musical culture back in Ireland, and in this case also in England. And I must say that we're all very grateful to Augusta for making it possible to bring musicians over from Ireland and also from England to be part of Irish Week. And it's great to honour the great communication that there is between the two cultures. And it's been very much part of the whole music scene in America, indeed, for as long as it's existed. And this year we have three musicians who are coming here for the very first time to Irish Week. And they've been a tremendous asset to the whole week. They're all great teachers as well as musicians. One of the musicians is from London, and I spent about 5 years in London myself back in the 60s and early 70s, and there was a great Irish music scene then, expatriate musicians from all parts of Ireland playing mostly in the pubs and sometimes in the Irish centres there, and a budding young musician at that time who was to flower later on in the next couple of decades into one of the great banjo players in Irish music was just starting out, and that was Mick O'Connor, born of Irish ancestry in London. In Ireland, there are all sorts of music festivals. They call them Fla Ciol or Fla na Ciol that take place throughout the summertime. And they all culminate in a big festival in the end of August, and it takes place in different towns in Ireland. Also, there are many music festivals that take place throughout the summer, most notably at the Willie Clancy Week in Milton Malbay in County Clare. And you're always liable to see one man in the middle of street sessions at all these events over the years. And he's become a legend as one of the great leaders and directors of sessions. And of course, sessions, playing informally, is the heart and soul of our musical culture. And he's a man called Antoine McGowan in the Irish language, and Tony Smith would be the English for that. And I suppose when you think of it, he would be a musician's musician's musician. He's right at the heart and core of the whole scene back there, respected by everybody, and a very generous man who has devoted his life to teaching young musicians and spreading the music and being part of the public face of the music without ever seeking acclaim himself. And it was a source of wonderment to us all that he actually made a CD recently. We thought he'd never get round to it. And we're delighted that he did, and it's available out there as well. And we're very, very delighted to have a man like Tony Smith here who energizes the week in so many ways. There's Marcus Amoricu, and Marcus originally comes from Belfast, a very thriving Irish music scene in Belfast. And he moved over to Derry some years back, and he teaches there and plays music there. His people were from the northwest of Ireland, and he inherited great music from the area around Sligo and Leitrim and Roscommon. He's one of the great flute players in Irish music, and as well as being a flute player like Tony Smith, he's a very, very generous sharing of his talents, and he teaches and has taught at the Willie Clancy Week in Clare for years, and is a legendary teacher. who was very generous with pupils of all different levels. And we're delighted to have him here as well. He also, a couple of years ago, issued his first CD after playing and collaborating with numerous musicians over the years. And they're going to be accompanied by a man you've already seen, and I don't know if we're all set up here, I think it looks like it, one of the great piano players in Irish music from New York, Brendan Dolan. So please make welcome Mick O'Connor, Tony Smith, Marcus of Murucu, and Brendan Dolan.